You're listening to True Fidelity, freeing you from the mainstream, your weekly source for independent music, stuff, and things. Because someone's got to do it. Hey, you're listening to True Fidelity. It's like the radio, but good.
We never give up on a philosopher's stone. I guess anything you wanna do, you gotta do it on your own. For a love of you, for a love of me, for a love of everyone who's yet to be free. Borders are scars on face of the planet. So heal away, my alchemy man. Holds up the candle. We rise again. We rise again with a fist full of heart and a relic of future. Wappa! We rise again with a fist full of heart and a relic of future. Wappa! We rise again.
Las fronteras dividen solo que cicatrices. Que te engañe se roba tus raíces. Cuando uno es guerrero uno no puede rendirse. No dejes que tu dignidad nadie la pise.
borders are scars on the face of the planet. So heal away my alchemy man. When even atheist holds up the candle, we gotta rise again. We rise again with a fistful of hearts and a radical future. With a fist full of heart and a relic of future. Wataka wataka, here we come, ataka taka. Wataka wataka, here we come. Wataka wataka, here we come, ataka taka. Wataka wataka, here we come.
Supervision, baby, nowhere to hide. everybody, welcome to the True Fidelity Show, episode number...
I'm losing count. There's so many. Oh, okay.
Quattro.
There you go. Excelente. I'm Big D.
I'm Laxy.
Patrick Galactic, baby.
I'm on one.
And Squeeze, our sound man.
Who makes no sound.
In the building. It's good to have you along. Welcome to it. It's good to be here. Another stellar edition. A couple of interviews coming up in the old program. Yeah. Later, we'll be talking to a band who is, just fantastic. Calico, the band.
Mm-hmm.
And they are like a, they're like an all-star independent band.
Super group.
Yeah, they are. Basically, Patrick, it's good to have you in the house. You found the teleporter.
I stepped through the portal, man.
A little bit earlier this
yeah,
time.
Yeah, it got me here a little earlier. Traffic was a little lighter. It's not most of the major holidays are over, so
all the galactic holidays just are done.
All the cosmic celebrations.
Mars Day and the Big Dipper week and all.
No, Big Dipper week is in January.
Oh, sorry about that. Hey, we started off the show with Rachel and the Rising. We heard We Must Be the One. Before that, Gogo Bordello doing We Rise Again, and the Black Angels started us off with The Flop. The best independent music you're ever going to hear. This is your weekly freedom from the mainstream. That's what we do. We are the True Fidelity Show. And
we're proud of it.
Unlike other shows, we don't make you wait. That's right. It's time for the featured artist of the week. We do it right out of the box. We don't make you wait around. This week, featured artist of the week for TruFi is the singer LP. She has a full name. She does not go by it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to Google her up, type in LP artist or LP the singer. So if you type in LP, you're just going to get a bunch of albums
rolling
up. She's a fantastic songwriter. She's written songs that have been used by the Backstreet Boys, Christina Aguilera, Rihanna, our own Vicky Martinez here in the Northwest where we come
from.
Our
very own.
Yeah, we claim her. Joe Walsh, Cher, lots of others. But most importantly, she is a fantastic artist in her own right. And our own C. Fry caught up with her. You'll hear that after this. This is LP and Night Like This.
You were the only one I was born to know.
Hi, C. Fry here with True Fry, and I'm sitting in Cafe Vita on Pike Street with singer-songwriter LP. So congrats on your new album, and what do you feel is the proudest, what do you feel most proud about your new album, the project in general?
I think that I'm proud of the songs and the subject matter, and you know, it's anytime you make a piece of art, it's documenting what you've been through in your life, like in that time period. So I feel like this record definitely represents where I've been for the last 3 or so years, and you know, some of the hard things that I've gone through, and some of the, you know, celebratory, like kind of amazing things that have happened in my life, and just like the like, you know, my, it's like it was like a new love, a new coast, a new like a lot of new things in my life, and returning to, you know, my love of singing and performing, where I was like, you know, kind of in my writer, like songwriter for other people mode. So
okay, you've worked with some big names and influential people in the music world. Who helped and encouraged you most?
You know, several different people, but you know, I have to say, I think like fans and people like that. I think the people that would come and see me consistently, and just people that seem to make me feel like I shouldn't stop and shouldn't, like, that, you know, that I would, like, I had to tell myself I was worthwhile as an artist. Obviously, every artist does, but you know, it kept me going to have fans, you know, come to shows, and also to just, like, I, you know, I kept getting deals and kept getting record deals and publishing deals, even if they didn't work out. I still was just, you know, I at least was like, I'm not crazy, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's just been, you know, I've done a lot of different things, and I've been thankfully making a good living for a while. So you know, I think that you just got to keep going and kind of stay grateful and proceed.
Oh, great. So, having been on major labels and independent, what are the pros and cons of both to you?
I think that, you know, when you're on a major, you can reach more people. I think you have more people to answer to, though. And I think there's pros and cons to both, and, you know, that it's not so much an indie label or a major label, it's the right label for you at the right time with the right people. And very often those things don't coincide. Like, even if you have the right people, then maybe some of those people leave or something happens. It's, you know, the through thread in it all is really your own art, your efforts, you know. So I think there's difficulties in all of them, and you just have to make the work, do the work, like make the songs, and they'll come. People will come.
Okay, when you hear other artists sing your songs that you write, like Rihanna and Christina Aguilera, what do you hear?
I just hear an incredible artist, you know, or a singer doing their interpretation of something. You know, the Rihanna song surprised me very much because it was almost identical to what I did, you know, except for a couple of the, you know, quintessential Rihanna runs that she does. But it was kind of thrilling to have her do it almost exactly how I sang the demo, because I didn't expect that. That was, I really thought she'd change a lot. But I don't know. I love hearing another person do one of my songs. It's awesome.
Flattering.
Yeah, very.
Okay. In March of last year, you were cited as one of their people to watch. And how did you react to that when you first read it?
Oh, I thought it was really cool. I mean, you know, I was surprised. And but I felt like, you know, I thought they got it, you know, and that was cool to me. You know, anytime someone understands what you're doing, or, you know, or gets it, it's always a thrill for sure.
You're currently on a West Coast tour, but you're from New York. What's the biggest difference or similarities of your audiences across the U.S.?
I don't know. I think, you know, I think, like, in, I guess New York is, like, you know, my cooler audience. Like, you know, like, and I don't mean cooler like they are cooler. I just mean cooler like they're, like, kind of more aloof, you know, sometimes. But not really. I feel like there's similarities in the crowd. Like, I just think that people that happen to get what I'm doing all have, like, they're very different. I have a wide breadth of people, you know, like, kind of male and female from very, like, wide breadth of ages and sexualities and stuff. So, I don't know. I don't know what the similarity or difference is. I just know that, you know, they're like, when they come to the show, they seem to be like, we get down on a, you know, a kind of a musical, spiritual level, it feels like, you know, and that's like a common denominator.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with us today, and we're enjoying playing your music. What are your plans moving forward from now?
I'm already working on another record, and I hope to be putting that out, you know, as soon as possible, you know, within a year. And I'm just, you know, more touring and more writing. I'm writing still a lot for other people, and so really just more of the same, you know, like that's my work. My you know, my day job is like being a songwriter for other people, and my job is just being myself, I guess. But it all goes into one. But it's yeah, just more writing, you know. It's like that's what I do. It's like my passion and my, you know, my work.
In and out of doors, in and out of walls, don't know what they're for. In and out of cars, feeling kinda lost, looking for the cause. Breaking down the walls, dropping all the calls, going up in smoke.
Tonight, in our hearts, we're breaking up into heaven.
God. What the hell are you doing, man? Are you listening to the radio? You're going to let them play the same five songs every other 5 minutes? I don't think so, man. You're listening to the True Fidelity Show, liberating you from the musical mainstream, playing you the best stuff you've never heard before. What are you going to do?
Artist of the week right there, LP with One Last Mistake. Heavenly Light started off with Night Like This. You're listening to the True Fidelity Show. I'm Big D, and hey, I think it's time to figure out what the hell's going on.
Hey everybody, this is Voxy, and here's what's going on. Sirius XM takes a blow in a California court this week that is bound to seriously shake up the digital streaming industry. The band members of the Turtles, responsible for the classic hit So Happy Together, as well as It Ain't Me, Babe, and She'd Rather Be With Me, came out the victor in a lawsuit against Sirius XM for not paying royalties on songs recorded pre-1972, before sound recordings began falling under the federal Copyright Protection Act. Now, this is nothing new, because for decades, television, radio broadcasters, restaurant and bar owners, and website owners have not had to pay royalties on songs recorded prior to 1972. However, now there seems to be an all-out war targeted against such streaming companies with similar lawsuits now being filed by major record label giants such as Capitol Records, Sony Music Entertainment, Warner Music Group. They've all filed similar suits against SiriusXM and Pandora. Sound Exchange, which is the company responsible for collecting digital royalties for artists, estimates that about $60 million is lost each year in royalties not being paid to artists for their pre-1972 music. Now, the Turtles are seeking $100 million in damages, which will be determined at a future court date. This is obviously a huge can of worms exploding onto an already fragile musical landscape in terms of how artists get paid for their work in a streaming environment. But do I think they deserve $100 million? No. Do I think these and other similar artists should get paid fairly and retroactively for their art? Yes, I do. Absolutely. But if the Turtles are awarded $100 million in damages, then what will the Beatles or the Rolling Stones be entitled to? Is the bankruptcy of our favorite streaming services and their potential to create future income for these and other artists worth it? Think about it. This is Voxy, turned on and tuned in for TrueFi.
I don't wanna go out tonight. I just wanna sit and get skin tight. So if you got a minute, baby, I got a few. I just wanna sit and get faded with you. Come on, get faded. Straight to it, yeah, making some trouble because I don't wanna go out tonight. I just wanna sit in this skin tight. So if you got a minute, baby, I got a few. I just wanna sit and get faded with you. Come on, get faded. Faded with you. Faded with you. Faded with you.
hit you when love comes along. I say, hey, hey. When love comes along, I say, hey, hey. Everybody say, hey, hey. Come on, come on, sing my song. I say, it's gonna hit you when love comes along. Love.
Welcome back to the True Fidelity Show, everybody. You just heard Marky Blue with When Love Comes Along. Before that, Bowery at Midnight, Trust Fall, and Jad, spelled J-A-D. That's the name of the band, Jad, doing Faded. Thanks for being out there. I hope you enjoyed our show. And be sure and thank your local affiliate, whoever's playing this. We're on all kinds of stations.
Thank you, thank you, thank you,
yes,
thank
across
you.
The U.S., and we're happy to
oh,
be
Oh, you mean the audience needs to thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was thinking.
And we appreciate that as well.
Oh, yeah. No, I thank them. I thank them. Thank them under my giant pillows of money.
On one, thanks them. Everybody's thanking them. No, it's important that we thank our affiliates because they don't have to carry this program, but it's very kind of them
to
do so.
They just do.
Yeah, our weekly musical mainstream relapse. Basically, it's what we're offering.
We humbly offer.
Hey, the story you just told in the news. Wow.
God, it's crazy right now with copyright laws and licenses and stuff.
Things are really in a weird space as far as the industry goes. And I thought your point was extremely well put as far as how much money they should get.
Yeah.
If they're asking, what was $100 million
in damages. Million. And that's only one of three suits they filed. They have filed in the state of California, New York, and Florida.
Well, A, you know they're not going to get that
They're not going to get anything like that.
But still, it does open up a huge can of worms for any and all bands who want to follow suit.
Yeah.
So we could technically be seeing the beginning of the downfall. If
the thing is that there's lots of court proceedings and stuff going on right now trying to revamp copyright and licensing laws to fit the digital age.
Don't we know it?
And what I'm seeing a trend in is that everyone's attacking these digital outlets now, like, oh, they need to pay this and they need to pay that. And they should definitely be paying what they should be paying, for sure. But all of this anger is focused on them when, again, it goes back to the fact that AM, FM radio, they haven't been, the whole time, they've not paid that, as well as they haven't paid performance rights or recording rights, you know? And so there's all these other avenues of places that they could be directing this to try and make up for some income when these streaming services are actually going to be helping musicians make money in the future. They're creating a brand new model of ways to make money as a musician.
To a certain extent, though, this happens every single time there's a new media introduced, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, look at the 80s with tapes and how much litigation there was around whether people could record something on there.
Or how about the how about when Garth Brooks and all those guys sued the mom and pop CD stores for selling used CDs,
right?
You know, they wanted
royalties.
They wanted
to
cut out of that. It's like, how? Again, every time, you're right, every time a new medium is introduced, there's always this fight, and the fight is always comes down to moolah, money.
Right. Yeah,
and
it's bloody. It always is. It's really, really gnarly until they can kind of come to an accord.
And if anybody knows anything about the music industry, we all know that the money is at the very top, and you want to talk about a non-trickle down.
Yeah,
the people at the bottom get zero, or little if any, and then as you move up through the chain, it goes up and up a little bit. I think the most important thing these days that artists can do is when they are, whether it's making a CD on their own or whether they're with a label or whatever, is to get a lawyer and you have to think forward. You have to think into the future. There are some bands that have done that, and some of the big bands, and I can think of like Pink Floyd, and I know Led Zeppelin and some of these big bands have all thought forward as far as the ownership of their music, how their music gets distributed. They have full say on all of it, so they won't even let it out unless they've got everything signed and everything in order.
They have top-notch representation at all times as well.
This particular case, not only all the other artists that could come forward then with cases, but like I had mentioned, you've got restaurants and bars that play the pre-1972 music. You've got your favorite little grocery store that plays it. You know, it's just so for one particular company to be targeted and attacked, if it continues to go through and they get a huge settlement, it's going to be chaos.
Well, what about the families of like... like Muddy Waters or some of the early blues and the early rockers who got nothing even at the time
for
the labels they were on. But their music is still played all over the place and covered and everything. Now can they come out of the closet
suing? Obviously, it's dumb that there was ever anything in place, that it was ever, that the practice ever went along the lines of, hey, anything pre-1972 shouldn't get paid. I mean, there should have been something.
Yeah, and how was that the magic number?
Well,
that's when the Federal Copyright Act came into play. It was in February of 1972.
Excellent.
So somehow everything previous to that just kind of got
pushed out.
Yeah. And it should have never been that way to begin with. There should have always been something that took care of previous sound recordings to the laws.
So what should we be worried about most here?
What should we be worried about?
Yes.
I think ultimately that the energy is being used attacking in the wrong places to try and help things be better for artists and musicians.
Rather than creating a solution, they're fighting.
Yeah. I mean, because... They're already trying to revamp the laws to fit the digital age. So obviously some retroactive pay or whatever. But again, like I said, if the Turtles get $100 million in damages awarded,
it won't happen.
But no matter what they get, again, when you consider other, I mean, there was
going
tons
to set the
of,
bar.
There were tons of great artists back then.
In fairness,
you know?
I think if you asked the Turtles, they would probably say that they are trying to change with this lawsuit
to try and
change the narrative
things forward, but Sirius falls under the same laws that AM FM radio do as a satellite radio station. Mm-hmm. They don't even fall under the same laws that other digital streaming services do. Sirius XM only has to pay the songwriter royalties as of right now. They don't pay the performance or the recording royalties at all anyway, let alone the pre-1972 stuff, and they've been doing it for 12 years. Pandora just stopped paying pre-72 royalties like 4 or 5 years ago, so they're not in for as long of a retroactive on that. But if they can come to some sort of terms that meets everybody's needs in this, then and go forward, then the streaming services get to keep, you know, surviving. And I think ultimately that's best for everyone. I think if we put them out of business, I think new ones will rise up, of course, but taking all this stuff into consideration, they might not be as
user-friendly.
Musician friendly.
Well, yeah. And I also think that no matter what the Turtles get, because they're going to get something. Obviously.
Yeah, they deserve to get something.
Yes, whatever
for sure.
It is, it's going to set the bar. Were the Turtles the biggest group of the time?
No, not by a long shot.
So now you're going to have the other groups coming in, getting more and less from whatever they are awarded. And that, I think,
that's going to be a huge responsibility.
It's going to be amazing. All right. Very good. This is True Fidelity Show. How about some Salt Pedal and Pico? We'll be right back.
Getting someone but not seeing. my God, Becky, look at her radio. She is so last decade. If she had any real friends, they'd totally give her a True Fidelity makeover.
Burdens lift, hanging on to every word to cross your lips. Feels like a long way gone, but I can still remember how you sang that song. Smiling like nobody'd ever done you wrong, strumming like you knew you had me all along. So kiss me, darling. Picture close, I like to have it with me when I'm far from home. Missing you's the hardest thing I've ever known. I hate to think about you being all alone. So I'll take the last train back, I'll wake you when I get there, cause I miss you bad. I need to feel you more than I ever have. Counting every stop along the railroad tracks. So kiss me, darling.
Twin Forks right there with Kiss Me Darling, and before that we had Salt Petal doing Pico. You're listening to the True Fidelity Show. We're coming to the end of hour number one.
Aww.
I know, but good news is we'll be back for hour number two.
Whoa.
And we'll be chatting with sound like Mr. Ed over there.
Whoa. Wilbur.
We'll be talking with Calico the band. You got your segment already over there, Spaceman.
I do, on my space phone.
Excelente. Well, hey, everybody, stick around. Hour number two coming up. Hope you enjoyed what you just heard. We enjoy putting together for you. We do it each and every week right here on this station at this very same time. We are True Fidelity, and we will be right back.